Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Operation Automation, a podcast series that explores how the wealth and asset management industry can future-proof operations and elevate expertise for clients, advisors, and their support teams, aka all employees, through intelligent automation. My name is John Almeida. I'm the global head of wealth and asset management here at ServiceNow, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my colleague today, Anne Musial. Anne, would you kindly introduce yourself for the audience?
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. My name is Anne Musial, and I am an employee workflow solution consulting leader here at ServiceNow. In my role, I get to support our wealth and asset management financial services customers that are focused in on transforming their employee experience operations.
Perfect. Thank you, Anne. So we have the right person for this discussion, and I'm really looking forward to it, given your incredible industry background. So with that, let's dive right in. Here's what we know, folks, or at least what we thought we knew, coming into this year, 2023, as it relates to an outlook for the wealth and asset management industry at large. The question was a recession, to be or not to be, when we came into this year. And it's still a flip of the coin as to whether or not we're going to be in one this year or next year, or if we're already in one. No one really knows. With that, every firm that I talked to has kind of firmed up their practice management. With a looming economic downturn and continued volatility, firms accelerated cutting costs. That's for sure. Consolidation trends continue. It's dizzying. All the industry publications that I subscribe to, every day there's movement. You have certain advisory teams breaking away and going independent. You have advisory teams unaffiliating from firm A, going to firm B, and on it goes. And with that, it's put an unprecedented amount of pressure on talent, talent acquisition, and talent retention across our industry. We do know that advisors are still very hard to find. In fact, it's the second hardest job to fill across any industry. And we've seen no impact related to this recession that will affect those jobs, including middle and back office support staff, which are finite. In fact, we've seen press clippings where the JPMCs of the world and Edward Jones of the world have actually wanted to add more advisors. Bank of America, Morgan Stanley have in fact spared layoffs in what they call recession-proof wealth jobs. We also saw Cerulli Associates publish a few reports that said about one-third of the industry, or some 112,000 advisors, will retire within the next decade. And these advisors are handling $2.4 trillion of assets. They're retiring as young talent flees the industry. So everyone is scrambling to find, attract, and retain the next generation of financial advisors and their qualified support staff. So, Anne, with that, we also know that COVID flipped everything on its head. I just spoke about this talent paradigm that we're going through right now, but I don't know that anyone has quite figured it all out yet. Is it in office? Is it remote? Is it hybrid? We do know that 68% of employees are more likely to leave an organization due to disconnected experiences. So, Anne, what are you seeing in your conversations with our clients? Where is the biggest need?
Yeah, so the world of work as we knew it pre-COVID has changed and evolved dramatically and is still evolving based on not only the complexities of, you know, employees understanding that they can work remotely and be productive, and employers understanding that that's a benefit they can provide to their workforce, but also there's a change and a shift and generational expectations. And what we're seeing is employers need to make experiences frictionless, consumer grade, and personalized to the end user. And what we're seeing is there is a need and essentially a demand for this to happen both in the physical workplace for those that do come in on a day-to-day basis, as well as for the digital workplace. And that's really going to help meet for those remote workers or even those hybrid workers as well. One thing that has become abundantly clear over the past year is that hybrid work is here to stay. That is what employees want. They want that flexibility and choice. So now our customers are looking to solve for how they can create a consistent employee experience for all of their employees, regardless of where they work. So human-centered design and creating inclusive experiences that make work easy become extremely critical here. So when I'm speaking with customers, top priority initiatives will include creating better in-office experiences that are really focused in more so on collaboration. And that's going to be powered by our workplace service delivery capabilities. And then we also are creating these omni-channel employee service delivery and employee journey experiences to supplement the in-office employee experience. So through transforming both those in-office and digital experiences, firms are looking to make life at work as easy as the consumer-grade services we receive on a day-to-day basis. Now, for so many of our financial services customers, as you mentioned, John, retaining the talent they invest so much in is a C-suite initiative. This is critical to the longevity of these organizations. So the pandemic, as well as the expectations that we've seen changing with millennials and Gen Z about what work should be and what employment needs to look like, have further compounded that war for talent that firms were already experiencing. And there's created a really urgent need to differentiate as a best-in-class employer. So experience here is key. But more and more, we're seeing the emphasis on a simplified enterprise employee experience, as well as now a focus on talent and specifically employee growth and development. Just a couple of weeks ago at the HR Tech Conference, employee skills were one of the trending topics. Essentially, skills and using skills to develop the way in which companies can work and maximize their employees' potential. We're seeing that become the currency of the future.
That's brilliant. And what I hadn't considered, and I think you just opened my eyes to, was that intersection or that unanticipated intersection between what happened with COVID and what you said earlier about generational expectations and hybrid work is here to stay. And it's something that the way I worked is much different than the way, for example, my sons are going to work. They're much younger than me. So that's brilliant. So on the heels of that, Anne, what are the best practices for supporting the workforce as it relates to services and journeys that you just mentioned? How can firms supercharge, if you will, services and experiences to maintain engaged employees?
So the most important thing to keep in mind is meeting the employee where they are and in a way that's most meaningful to them. This is where human-centered design comes in. It is so easy to get wrapped up in the perceptions that leaders might have in terms of what is most important. One of the things that I challenge customers to do as we work with them is to get out of their offices, to get right out into the field with their workforce, whether that be in various branches, if that's traveling around the country or the world. And they need to really understand what is most important for their advisors and for their staff across the board. They need to understand what will really move the needle for them. And what they find most often is it's very small things, things that were not top of mind for them. Maybe it's not the biggest workflow transformation, but it's something as easy as just having a different color-coded indicator on their homepage for them. So what we see when organizations really take the voice of the employee to heart, there are three themes that consistently come up as they look to transform these employee experiences. So the first thing they're looking to solve for is anytime, anywhere access. As you get out into the field, the first thing you're going to see is more often than not, when an employee has a question that comes up, especially if it's related to pay, benefits, or employee perks, they're probably not sitting in front of their computer or during the standard operating hours of a business. It's when they're at home, maybe they're at a soccer game, God forbid, you know, at an urgent care clinic, and they need to see what services are available to them. As a best practice here, we really focus in on providing that anytime, anywhere access. So what does that mean? It means that it's not only going to be a self-service portal. The best practice is providing an omni-channel experience that gives choice and flexibility, which again is a really key theme that we hear from the industry. Employees want flexibility and choice in how they work and how they engage with their employer. So it might mean deploying a mobile application. It could be surfacing a virtual agent via Slack or your messaging applications, embedding Employee Center in Microsoft Teams, or simply as basic as providing an email, phone line, or text message support in addition to that self-service portal. Now, once employees can access the support, that's when we get into the next theme that is really a best practice as we look to supercharge those experiences. And that's providing more of a guided experience. So whether it be a transition on the job, maybe from a corporate role to that of a financial advisor in the field, or a personal transition, like getting married, there are going to be multiple steps along the way that oftentimes span across multiple systems or departments. And simply having insight or visibility into what to expect helps relieve stress and anxiety and builds confidence. Again, as we talk about generational expectations of employees, they don't want a lot of stress in the workplace. There's a lot higher level of anxiety with Gen Z than we've historically seen with different generations. And this is an easy way that employers can make work better for their employees by reducing stress and providing visibility. So when speaking with clients about their vision to transform experiences around employee transitions, one of the top asks that we get is actually for a pizza tracker, if you will. Where can I have one view where I see each step and a dot that moves along the way to see what has happened, what to expect in the future, and who is owning every single action? If I need help, I can quickly get that help with the click of a button. Again, you hear this theme of, I have an experience in my personal life that's so easy. I can see when my dinner is going to be at my doorstep. Why can't it be as easy to go through a transition in the workplace? And so these guided experiences are really providing not only that simplified and stress-free experience for employees, but as we talk about the potential for automation, that's where we are really driving productivity and efficiency gains. Now, the last thing that I'm going to speak about here is a really important key theme that, again, goes back to keeping that employee at the center of your design and having that human-centered design approach. And this is around personalization. So as much as we can automate and create the best omnichannel experiences anytime, anywhere access, it's oftentimes the small touches that mean the most. Years ago, I was working with a client that was socializing a portal design as they were actually merging brands and creating a new experience for their employees under a new brand and working on creating a digital culture that was going to be really impactful for their organization. So what they did is they showed a comprehensive mock-up, a giant printout that went from the floor to ceiling of what that future portal experience might be. And they asked employees to put a post-it note on the area that they were most excited about. What is the piece of the portal design that really resonates with them that they're going to see as meaningful to the way in which they work? And what they found is it wasn't the virtual agent, it wasn't enterprise search, but it was just a simple welcome greeting in the banner with the employee's first name. So by creating these personalized experiences, organizations can simplify the message to employees and reduce that noise that oftentimes becomes overwhelming. Another example here is we have a global financial services organization that really prioritized work-life balance and employee wellness. On the homepage of their portal, they have a widget that shows how much PTO somebody has accrued. So first and foremost, they're making it easy for their employees. They've integrated with multiple systems to surface this data on a landing page that is accessible and digestible for their workforce. On that widget, once the employee is close to maxing out their accrual for PTO, it will turn red when the PTO accrual gets close to maxing out, and it will advise them to take time off and direct them on the process for how to submit that request. This is such a great example of using data and digital experiences to reinforce culture, drive adoption of employee perks, and keep employees working at their best. Again, really focusing in on talent and empowering employees.
That's brilliant. And it's just so many insights there to pick through. I love what you said about the human-centered design, human being the prevalent word there. Flexibility, guided experience, simplification. I love what you said about folks getting out of the office, the C-suite. It's like those the undercover boss episodes that I watch. More of that needs to happen. And listen, I am not a paid testimonial for Domino's Pizza. I am not. But I do love that pizza tracker. You're spot on. When I order pizza from them, I love the fact that I know what's happening every step of the way. You're right. Why can't it be that simple for all employees, including these advisors who we sometimes don't think about their wellness as well in the workplace? And that's super important. So, Ann, that's brilliant. Let me ask you another question. What type of tangible results can a firm expect by implementing these best practices? Any factual numbers you can share and kind of elaborate on those, please?
Absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't share one of the ultimate best practices that we see our customers really latch on to as it comes to digital employee experience transformation. And that's to solve for the many, not the few. Employee experience is such a broad topic. And identifying quick wins and using data to drive decisions for future enhancements has empowered our clients to innovate with maximum impact. So with that ultimate best practice in mind, so many of our clients focus on an iterative implementation strategy, really focusing in, again, on those quick wins. What is the most valuable product, not most viable product, valuable product to their business and to their employees? So one customer, Westpac, who presented at our knowledge conference a couple of years ago, focused in on that employee experience, making it easier for employees to get the support and services they need. They consolidated 5 HR portals into 1 employee center, and as a result, saw a 26% reduction in case. Another one of our customers, a top 5 wealth and asset manager in the world, focused in on onboarding. So again, a different quick win, a different value area that they focused in on optimizing. And as they focused in on onboarding, they also worked to create a new chairman's line to mitigate and manage risk. So they recognized productivity gains in reducing the offboarding and affiliation process from months to weeks. Additionally, they realized an increase in employee trust and satisfaction as a result of those transformed self-service experiences. So we hear these stories consistently. Lastly, I'll share my own personal story. Before I joined ServiceNow, I was a customer working for a very large tech firm. And our biggest win was having structured units of work cases that we could automate further. Time savings and productivity gains were astounding as we leveraged automatic case classification and assignment to our global teams to reduce that manual intervention. The power of automation here really is not only going to supercharge those employee experiences, if you will, making it easier for them to get the services they need, but what we find is there are always tangible time savings and productivity gains that empower businesses to reallocate, reinvest to further transform their business.
Makes sense to me, Ann. Automate, automate, automate as much as you can. That is certainly the way to go. And speaking of automation, Ann, one last question for you. And I like to call it the reinvigoration, if you will, of AI with the emergence of generative AI, right? It's the hot topic right now across any industry. Any insights from you on how that can be leveraged in these employee use cases?
Absolutely. So AI is foundational to ServiceNow and has been a core pillar to our employee workflows capabilities for years. With natural language understanding, AI search, and productive intelligence, we have been able to transform the employee experience through leveraging other forms of AI prior to generative AI. But today, more than ever, customers are looking to do more with less. And this is where our AI and Gen AI capabilities add immediate value. So there's a couple of transformational use cases that are top of mind as we speak to firms across the world with the desire to adopt our available Gen AI capabilities as quickly as possible. And so the two key use cases they're focusing in on, again, what is going to add most value to the way in which they work and provide them those efficiency gains? First is furthering that personalization for their workforce. So for an employee that's going out and searching for information, they can read a policy. They can understand, you know, what is the policy? What is the procedure? What is expected for me? But oftentimes it's not put in verbs and terminology that is digestible for an employee. So really Gen AI here can put that, what does it mean for me focus with our summarization of content that is, powered by Now Assist. What we're finding here is with that summarization of content, that's really keeping it simple. It's not policies. It's not procedures. It's what does this mean for the employee? We are able to predict around a 15% reduction in case volume for some of our early adopter customers. So again, freeing up capacity to work on other items and doing that with AI. So really, really powerful. The other area where we're seeing, again, a great addition in productivity gains, and ultimately we're predicting around an 18% reduction in resolution time for providing services to employees, is using our case summarization features. So with supporting employees, oftentimes it's not a really simple request. Potentially there could be a really complex scenario going on, a workplace accommodation, a transfer, a promotion, and there are a lot of moving pieces to this that can span across days, if not months. With case summarization, you don't have to take hours of your day to read through that historic information. With the click of a button, Gen AI is going to summarize all of those key points for you and allow for you to respond in a very personalized fashion to that employee with the answers that are going to mean most for them. So really, the strategic application of Gen AI in some of these areas is going to help make the HR teams provide that higher touch support in a much more efficient way. So the pace of innovation as it comes to our capabilities around Gen AI and including our own LLM and additional planned use cases for employee workflows specifically is one of the things that's actually getting me most excited for our customers. This is where we really can innovate and automate further to transform these employee experiences. And I see firms looking to take advantage of this as they look to create that best-in-class employee experience and retain all of the talent that they've worked so hard to onboard.
Couldn't agree more, Anne. Such brilliant insights. No wonder we invited you to this podcast. So much experience. It's great insight. There's lots to digest there. But for those of you listening, I think we just kind of gave you a really good roadmap on how you're thinking about attracting and retaining these very difficult to find high quality employees like advisors and all their support staff. And across your entire industry, we can extend that to your entire breadth of employees, which are such a huge asset to any firm. So, Anne, can't thank you enough for those brilliant insights. Thank you so much for joining us. And for those of you listening, thank you as well for listening to this podcast. I'm sure you found it quite enlightening. Thank you again, and everyone have a great day.